morning, my friends, and welcome to yet another incredible installment of Weekend Update. From very high above all the puerile and vacuous forms of Wyoming mainstream media, this is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, firmly ensconced behind the silver Cowboy State Politics microphone and broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns at the Cowboy State Politics Northern Command Studio in Sheridan, Wyoming. Good morning, my friends, and welcome to the program. Happy, very frosty Saturday. Right now, at Cowboy State Politics headquarters, it is an arctic 30 below zero. Fortunately, at least according to the weather station on top of the studio, the wind isn't blowing yet. If the wind kicks up at all, the wind chill factor will be at least 50 below zero. If I had to venture a guess, I would say that even Governor Gordon is in favor of some global warming right about now. Unlike a lot of people in government, I don't get too worked up about extreme temperatures, whether it's hot or it's cold. It's Wyoming, it's the middle of January, and these things happen. I remember one winter when we snowmobiled to our cabin in the Bighorns. I mean, it was cold when we got on the snowmobiles, and of course you don't really recognize it when you're on a snowmobile because there's heaters and all sorts of things. But when we got to the cabin, the whiskey was frozen. I don't know how cold it has to get to freeze whiskey. Now, of course, I'm not talking about a solid block of whiskey ice. It was more slush. All I really remember is my dad, in an effort to avoid sleeping on the couch in front of the fire for the next two nights, the first thing he did was thaw out the whiskey so he could make my mom a drink. In any case, I would imagine that at 30 below zero, you could probably freeze cheap whiskey. Fortunately for all of us, our heat is not reliant upon renewable energy sources. If it were, all of us would be really, really cold for about the next week or so. And that brings up another question. Do you suppose that all of these politicians that advocate for reducing fossil fuels and stopping coal mining are really thankful that we have coal mines right now? Now, you're right. The thought has probably not even occurred to them. Anyway, on with today's program. All this week, I have been focusing on these things called natural asset companies. Don't worry too much that you haven't heard about it yet. Most people haven't. That's because it's been kept pretty much top secret. That was until our U.S. Representative Harriet Hageman found out about it last fall. It's a kooky scheme that's been cooked up by the Securities and Exchange Commission and the New York Stock Exchange. The way Harriet describes these things is it's ESG on steroids. The letters ESG stand for Environmental Social Governance. Essentially, it's a credit rating system. Natural asset companies, as crazy as it sounds, are going to trade in things like beauty and the air. I know. How could somebody possibly buy the air? Well, there's an example of that in New York City. In New York, you can buy the airspace above a skyscraper. They put this in place to prevent somebody from throwing up a giant building right next door to your own building. As kooky as it sounds, it works for New York City. It would not work for places like Wyoming, however, though Wyoming would be a big giant target for natural asset companies. In simple terms, if this Securities and Exchange Commission rule goes through, somebody like, say, Warren Buffett could buy the natural assets of Yellowstone National Park, which would allow him to pretty much control everything that's done on the ground inside Yellowstone National Park. So that would mean that no more tourism, no more changing anything inside the park to allow for human contact. Literally, Warren Buffett would own the beauty inside the park. To be quite honest with you, I'm having a difficult time getting my head wrapped around this whole thing. And the reason for that, and the reason why you are thinking it's a crazy idea, is there's no definition, really, of what these natural asset companies would do. They've kept it really nebulous so that they can figure out the details later. A better question than what these natural asset companies are is, why would somebody invest in them? And that's actually pretty easy. as a carbon offset. Somebody like Warren Buffett or Bill Gates buys the natural assets to Yellowstone National Park or Grand Teton National Park, or even scarier yet, the High Plains Desert of Wyoming, which of course encompasses most of the state, as a carbon offset. That is, they preserve a giant chunk of property and say that there's not going to be any human development on it and use that as an offset for all of their pollution bilking activities elsewhere. I mentioned Warren Buffett earlier. One of Warren Buffett's big investments is in trains. Trains run on fossil fuels. And so Warren Buffett would use his carbon offset when he bought the beauty rights to Yellowstone National Park so that he could continue running his trains, and his ESG score will remain the same. To get a better idea of this whole scheme, I spoke with Harriet Hegeman this past Thursday. Now, I played our interview during the live program on Cowboy State Politics Live on the Independence Network, and I also replayed the whole program on Thursday. But this is such a big and important thing that I wanted to make sure that all of the Cowboy State Politics listeners understood exactly what was going on and how tremendously important it is. Here's that discussion from Thursday. Representative Hegeman, welcome to Cowboy State Politics Live.
How are you, David?
I am doing fantastic. How are you?
I am doing fantastic because we're getting the word out about NACs, and hopefully we're going to be able to stop some of this crazy nonsense coming out of Washington, D.C.
Well, quite frankly, Harriet, I did a little bit of research into these things last night and this morning after your town hall that you held, which was great, by the way. But I really am having a hard time getting my head around what these NACs are. So could you help us out?
This is a way for the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, and the radical Biden administration to try to find a way to securitize and weaponize our federal and private lands against us, but to implement their radical ESG policies. And in fact, one of the reasons as to why they're going down this road of forming these NACs, these natural asset companies, is because they do not believe that the ESG movement has advanced fast enough or far enough, and ESG being environmental social governance. So this is the mechanism that the New York Stock Exchange is partnering with a private company called the Intrinsic Exchange Group. And they're going to set up these natural asset companies, and these natural asset companies will buy the natural assets. They don't define what any of these things are. They are intentionally keeping things vague so that they will have maximum flexibility to do what it is they want to do as they move forward with these crazy ideas. But just in summary, what it would be is, let's assume that Bill Gates would buy the natural assets to Yellowstone National Park. He would then be able to dictate management decisions related to Yellowstone National Park. You could have the Chinese Communist Party buy the natural assets of the Shoshone National Park, or the National Forest, or the Medicine Bow National Forest lands. They would buy what they refer to as, quote, the natural assets. And they're saying they're doing this because it is intended to, quote, end the overconsumption of and underinvestment in nature, which requires bringing natural assets into the mainstream. And so what this proposal would do is that NACs would be corporations that hold the rights to the ecological performance produced by natural or working areas, such as national reserves or large-scale farmlands. Now, keep in mind, David, the vast majority of the farmland in the United States is privately held. It is not held by the government. BLM lands are not typically farmlands. National Forest Service lands are not typically farmlands. Those are grazing lands. Those are recreation lands. Those are lands where we engage in mining and in oil and gas exploration. But we don't tend to farm. Your farm country is privately owned. So they're stating specifically in this rule, they're going to try to find a way to monetize the, quote, natural assets. And then the people who buy these, the companies companies, these natural asset companies, they are prohibited from doing anything that would generate revenue in your traditional sense. They would be prohibited from doing any grazing. They would be prohibited from doing any oil and gas development. They would be prohibited from doing any kind of mining, coal mining, trona mining, anything like that. So the point of it is to allow people like Bill Gates and the Chinese Communist Party to come in and buy the, quote, natural assets of these large swaths of lands and block all future development access and use.
That's that's insidious.
It's insane.
So as if I understand you correctly, essentially it's doing two things. One, completely stopping any extractive industries whatsoever, or grazing, or any development of any of these lands. And two, I mean, it sounds, hold on just a second. It sounds like it's a second attempt to monetize or to make money off of controlling public lands. Do I have that right?
You're exactly right. So right now, we have the Organic Act that created the National Forest Service in 1897. And our national forests, they're managed pursuant to the Federal Land Policy Management Act. They're managed pursuant to the National Forest Act. And they're managed pursuant to the resource management plans that apply to those particular national forests. So Shoshone has a different management plan than does the Black Hill management plan than other national forests throughout the country. Same thing with BLM lands. Just going through what we have been with the Rock Springs RMP,
right.
That resource management plan applies to those 3.6 million acres, but there are other resource management plans that apply to other BLM lands throughout the interior West. This is an overlay that would grant to these private corporations the right to dictate how these lands could be used. So while FLTMA may say one thing, and FLTMA specifically requires multiple use, and FLTMA specifically requires grazing, oil and gas, and mineral development, what they're trying to do is circumvent the FLTMA and multiple use requirements and limits. So I'm going to quote to you from the proposed rule exactly what it is that they're trying to do with these lands. What they say is, under the proposal, all NACs would be prohibited from directly or indirectly conducting unsustainable activities. They don't describe what is unsustainable activities. They will define that at a later date, such as mining that lead to the degradation of the ecosystems it is trying to protect. In conducting its revenue-generating operations, an NAC could monetize ecosystem services that have markets, such as through the sale of carbon credits. This whole thing is a scam. It is a fraud. They even go in about how they're going to value these assets by using the exchange states that the reporting framework is based on the natural capital accounting standards established in the United Nations System of Environmental Economic Accounting. So they're actually adopting UN protocols to determine the value of these assets, how they're going to be monetized, and what kind of activities could be conducted on these lands. But it doesn't only apply to our National Park Service lands, our BLM lands, and our National Forest Service lands. It also applies to private property that has conservation easements on it. So over the years, we have a variety of organizations, the Nature Conservancy, the Wyoming Stock Growers Land Trust, and they've been pushing these conservation easements with our private landowners. And our private landowners could potentially find themselves in a circumstance where, again, the country of Iran could come in and set up a natural asset company and purchase all of the natural assets of these lands that are covered by conservation easements. This is one of the craziest things I've ever seen in my life, David.
It's frankly, when I first read about it, I had a hard time getting my head around it. But it sounds to me like it's another take on the old cap and trade carbon credit.
Exactly what it is. It's exactly what it is. They could not get cap and trade off the ground. They tried that through the Chicago Stock Exchange, and it collapsed because nobody's interested in it. Because there's no way to make the money. There's no way, except through fraud. This literally is setting up a form of fraud. And there's an article that was written by Marlo Oakes, the treasurer for the state of Utah, called The Companies That Can't Make Money. And that's exactly what he said. This thing is absolutely rife with fraud. But they specifically state that it is not limited to American citizens, that foreign nationals and foreign governments could own these NACs. Why would we want Saudi Arabia, Iran, Russia, and the Chinese Communist Party to dictate what we could do on our federal and private lands?
This whole thing is pretty kooky, isn't it? Well, let's take a quick break, and then we'll get back to my discussion with Harriet Hageman. But first, an absolutely outrageous profit timeout. This installment of Weekend Update is brought to you by Morton Buildings. It's 30 below zero outside. You know what would come in really handy right about now? A big, gigantic barn to put all of your livestock in so that they could stay nice and toasty warm. You don't think that they get cold too? Come on now. Well, the best way to do that is to call Nick and Jesse from Morton Buildings. They are the experts in metal building construction. They've been doing it longer than anybody else around, and they definitely do a much better job than anybody else. So whether you need a garage or a barn, or maybe you want something bigger like a roping arena or a big giant warehouse, give Nick and Jesse at Morton Buildings a call. Their phone number is 307-674-2532. It doesn't really matter what type of building you're thinking about. Just give Nick and Jesse a call, 307-674-2532, and they'll handle all the details. Trust me, your animals will thank you for it. At 30 below zero, you don't have to go on a long hike to get frostbite. It can happen in a matter of minutes. It could happen while you're shoveling the walk. To prevent that from happening, you need two things. The first one of them is a pair of really warm socks from the Buffalo Wool Company. They are the warmest socks that I have ever put on my feet. To get you a pair, go to the website, thebuffalowoolco.com. Trust me, you're not going to be disappointed, and neither will your feet. The other thing you need to prevent frostbite on your ears is a brand new, really warm hat from New Trend Hats. They have a wide variety of hats for both men and women, and you're sure to find one to keep those ears of yours nice and toasty warm. Trust me, you'd look pretty funny with frostbit ears. And it really wouldn't be that pleasant either. So go to their website, newtrendhats.com, and keep those ears of yours nice and toasty warm. That's New Trend Hats. The following advertisement was paid for by Reed Raisner for Senate. And now, back to our program. It essentially does away with our conception of what private property is. I mean, you own your property, but some foreign country can buy the natural asset of your property. I mean,
that's exactly right.
Wow. So how?
And then they're the ones that have primacy. Then they're the ones that get to dictate how that land is used. That's the other significant part about this, because they specifically state in here they will not allow any kind of extractive or uses. So grazing, energy extraction, and other economically critical activities would disappear on NAC-protected land. Farmland used to feed the nation and world would go back to natural landscapes, erasing human activity. Here's the thing about it, and this is just another part of what I'm starting to refer to as as engineered scarcity. This is an administration. These people are so radical that they are literally doing everything in their power to destroy the lower and middle class in this country, and they're doing it by engineered scarcity. They're trying to limit the amount of energy resources we have, oil and gas and electricity. They're trying to limit our ability to grow food, and you're seeing it not only in this country, but you see it in the Netherlands, for example. You see it in Ireland, where they're trying to force their cattle producers to slaughter 41,000 head of cattle because of global warming. You see all of this, and what you've got is you've got national and international political leaders, the World Economic Forum folks, that this is engineered scarcity. This is engineered wretchedness being imposed by our so-called political leaders. This is one of the more dangerous things that I've ever run across. My office, we got wind of this last October when they first announced it, and we jumped on it immediately. And we got, we were joined by 30 other members of Congress in signing a letter to the SEC in December saying, whoa, you way need to back off of this, buddy, and you need to extend the time for comment, and we need to get a lot more information about what it is that you're attempting to do. The SEC did extend the comment period to January 18th. People need to engage in this, and they can go to the SEC website. They can look at other comments that have been submitted, including one just 2 days ago by a variety of attorneys general from around the country being led by Utah and Kansas, including the state of Wyoming. Bridget Hill signed on to this letter, which I was very pleased about that.
Yeah.
But our states and attorneys general and treasurers are starting to realize how bad this is and starting to bang the drum, but we need to stop this thing because this is absolute insanity.
Well, how are they able to do this? I mean, the SEC doesn't have legislative authority.
They don't. And that's the thing. And we can always tie them up in court, which is what's going to happen if we don't stop this, if they go forward with it. And I think probably the best summary of some of the legal infirmities with this are set forth in the January 9th letter from the attorney generals. The SEC, neither the SEC nor the New York Stock Exchange, either one, have the legal authority to do what they're trying to do. The other question I have is that the New York Stock Exchange is actually going to have a seat on the board of this private company called the Intrinsic Exchange Group, and the New York Stock Exchange is actually going into partnership with the IEEG, with the IEG as one of their partners in setting up these NACs. Tell me what other companies or what other private entities you're aware of that the New York Stock Exchange is actually in partnership with the private corporation, furthering the agenda of that private corporation. I've never heard of this before,
one.
And I was reading it last night, and I'm thinking, why in the world isn't that a conflict of interest? The New York Stock Exchange is actually going to have a seat on the board of this private corporation. They're going into partnership on these NACs. That ought to be raising red flags everywhere, because you don't have anybody guarding the hen house here. Then you've got the SEC in the middle of it, who's supposed to be protecting investors, and the very type of asset that they're setting up, by definition, they're not allowed to make money on. So what you're going to see, and I think that this is what's really important for people to understand, is this is a way for our universities and our sovereign wealth funds and our pension funds who want to have a larger ESG portfolio, they're going to start investing our money in this stuff, our retirement in this stuff. They're going to start buying these securities from these NACs, because then they can say, oh, we're engaging in ESG. We're protecting the environment. We're engaging in this. All of this is a pyramid scheme, and it's a fraud because it isn't backed by anything. There is no asset. They're literally buying air.
Yeah, they're buying
natural
beauty.
They're buying beauty. They're buying the sunshine. They're buying the air. They're not even buying something that generates electricity. They're literally saying, okay, Yellowstone National Park is not going to be developed. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to claim as Bill Gates that I own all the natural assets to that. Well, why the hell would Bill Gates get to own the natural assets to the Yellowstone National Park anyway? It belongs to us.
Yeah.
And then they're going to monetize those, securitize those, and then sell those to universities and pension funds so that they have a big enough ESG portfolio.
Well, even the amount of the dollar amounts that they're talking about, and I can't remember which article it was in, but one of them, And there are not a few very many articles about this whole thing, by the way. But one of them listed something like $500 trillion or some ridiculous amount of money. That doesn't exist.
It says that. So then so according to this letter set by the AGs, listing NACs and allowing them to be traded would have vast negative economic ramifications for the U.S. economy, costing hundreds of billions, if not trillions of dollars. The proposed rule itself admits as much. Specifically, the rule asserts not only that there is a financing gap of between 500 and 800 billion per year for biodiversity, whatever that means, but beyond that, that there is a financing gap of over $5 trillion per year for climate change. What are they talking about?
I don't even think they know. I mean, it's in everything that I read, the language is so ambiguous that they can make it mean anything that they want it to mean.
And that's exactly the point. And that's why when you have deference doctrines like what the Supreme Court came up with in Chevron, where the courts then defer to the agencies to interpret the language that they're attempting to implement, then it puts us in this position where none of us know how this is going to be implemented. They can manipulate it. They can do whatever they want. It's why these kinds of things are so incredibly dangerous. Again, David, when we started getting into this and when my office started saying, whoa, we've got a real problem here. We've got to start fighting back against this. So we did a couple of things. One is we have submitted a couple of amendments to try to defund any effort to implement this SEC rule. That's one of the things that our office has done. The other thing is just exposing this. And fortunately, we have been able to get the press, and like you in doing the town hall last night, the Facebook Live event, we've been able to get more eyes on this and start pushing back and then getting our fellow congressional members to engage as well. But David, this is an astoundingly dangerous situation we're finding ourselves in with these NACs and trying to block this from going forward.
Well, one of my next questions was going to be, what can we do about it? But the second one is, what about our pals on the other side? I mean, do you have bipartisan support with this, or is this mainly just you and your conservative colleagues?
Me and my conservative colleagues. And one of the things that I would say, and you even mentioned it at the top of our discussion, this stuff is so doggone complicated, it's hard to even get your arm around it to understand what it is that they're trying to do. In preparation for the meeting last night and the other talking points, and we've done some editorials and some letters, so we've had some time to kind of dig into this and see what it is that they're doing. But it's one of those things that just flew totally under the radar. For one thing, David, they only gave 21 days notice. Before they did this. When they did this in October, before people start jumping up and down and screaming, they only did a 21-day notice period. Then they extended it for a very short period of time, but they actually intended to issue their rule on January 2nd. And that's when we just really started banging the drum saying, no way, you cannot do this. You need to pull this back. And they did. But it is a circumstance where a lot of people just don't even understand where this is coming from.
Well, and I mean, it's, you know, a lot of things, you ask, well, why didn't we know about this? It's been around for so many, for so long. That's not the case here.
The reason you don't know about it
is they didn't tell anybody.
No, this popped up on September 26th that they closed out the comment period before the third week of October. They did extend it briefly again to the 2nd of January, and then we pushed and got it to the 18th of January. So the answer is people need to be commenting on this and saying not only no, but hell no, but our political leaders also need to start stepping up. I know that Kurt Meyer has, Sherry Steinmetz has been very vocal about this, John Baer, Chip Nyman, there are others that I know that are going to be submitting comments. As I indicated, our attorney general signed the letter that was the comments that were drafted by the attorney generals of Utah and Kansas. Very good set of comments explaining why this is illegal, why they don't have the legal authority to do this, and what the implications are. But we need more political leaders. We need our governor. We need other political leaders to step up and say, absolutely no way are we going to allow this to happen. You are not securitizing our lands in the state of Wyoming, federal or private. That is not what they're for. The Multiple Use Sustained Yield Act doesn't allow it, in addition to which we're not going to allow private entities and foreign governments to control our most important natural resources in our country.
So if people want to find out more about this, not that there is a lot that's available, is there somewhere people can go to read the official documents from the SEC?
You bet. You can go to the SEC, the website itself, and the comments are due. If you use the commission's internet comment form, you can send an email to the rule.com/comments. I'm not going to be able to read all this or people are going to understand it. Just look up the Securities Exchange Commission, the SEC, go to their comment portal, find this particular rule. The name of it is Self-Regulatory Organizations, New York Stock Exchange, LLC, Order Instituting Proceedings to Determine Whether to Approve or Disapprove a Proposed Rule Change to Amend the New York Stock Exchange Listed Company Manual to Adopt Listing Standards for Natural Asset Companies. Yada, yada, yada. You get it. But it is, if you go there, if you go to the website, you will be able to find it. Go look at other people's comments and just read the rule. It's not terribly long, but boy, you can tell with the gobbledygook in here what it is they're trying to do. It's just mind-blowing.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll go find all that stuff and put links to it all over my website. Excuse me. To make it easy.
I think that's great. Thanks, David, for getting this out there to your listeners, because this really is an important one, especially in a state like Wyoming with 48% of our surface estate owned by the feds and 65% of our minerals. This is going to devastate Wyoming. But again, the private property component of this, they say it right at the beginning, man, they're going after our farm ground.
Yeah.
And they specifically state that you will not be able to do grazing or anything like that. So this is literally they're trying to rewild North America.
Well, and all of us kind of laughed at all the reports where they want us to eat bugs. But when you talk about, you know, doing away with all of the grazing land in Wyoming, which is half the state, there's not going to be anybody that's going to be able to produce any beef or any other livestock for that matter. And you mentioned...
Well, one of the things to keep in mind, David, part of the reason that our BLM and Forest Service lands are so valuable for grazing is it's almost, other than mineral extraction, it is the only mechanism by which we can monetize those resources for the benefit of our communities, our schools, our state, and our country. So you have vast areas of land that are unproductive unless you graze them. That's just the reality of Wyoming, Colorado, Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota, Utah. That's just what they are. The only way to make money is on the back of a steer, a heifer, a sheep, something along those lines. That's the only way we can make money. You take that resource away from those communities and you've broken the communities. There's nothing that will keep the people there. And this goes back to what I've been screaming about for years in talking about Sudan, and I've always said Sudan is an extreme circumstance. And starting in the 70s and 80s, they urbanized all their people. They took everybody off the land. They put them in refugee camps. And over 90% of the food that is consumed in Sudan is imported because they don't have an agricultural base. They don't have the ability to grow their own food. So their people starve to death. But even more importantly, their leaders use food to control them. Anytime they try an uprising, anytime they try to fight back against the abject poverty that they live in, anytime they try to defend themselves or their family or their culture or anything else, their leaders use food to control them and they starve them to death. And is that an extreme circumstance? Yes, it is. But when you take entire areas of land out of protection in the United States, you're heading in the same direction. They're trying to urbanize us. They're trying to take us off the land and be independent. And this is just one more example of that. They're saying it. Read the rule. There's no grazing. There's no farming. They will not allow any type of extractive resources whatsoever, whether it is using the grass or the water or anything else. This is to keep large swaths of the entire interior western United States entirely fallow and unusable.
Well, and I'm sure that there no monetizing the land for any purpose whatsoever includes state governments. So think about hunting and fishing and, I mean, everything.
It says that they talk about through the sale of carbon credits.
Yeah. So one more thing I wanted to ask you about, if we're done with that confusing subject, is were you in that committee meeting where you were where they were discussing whether to hold Hunter in contempt?
There were two committee meetings yesterday, and I was in one of them. I think the one that got all of the press was the Oversight Committee. I was in Judiciary.
Oh, okay.
So Hunter showed up at the Oversight Committee. He didn't show up in Judiciary. We debated it yesterday as well, and we voted in favor of a resolution to hold him in contempt for refusing to show up to his deposition, but we didn't have the fireworks like they did next door.
Yeah, it's. I've got several sound bites prepared for the program today, and I mean, it was amazing that he actually walked in there. I mean, to thumb his nose.
David, the arrogance of these people, and I think that Kelly Armstrong from North Dakota said it best in our room, and he's an attorney, and he says, I've been a criminal defense attorney through much of my career, and I can assure you that the person who is subject to the deposition isn't the one that sets the rules. And then he went through this whole litany of things that Hunter Biden has gotten away with over his life because of his last name Biden and because he's been selling access to the president and the vice president. And he said, you know what? Just this one time, he ought to have to play by the rules. Just this one time. That's all we're asking. Just one time, this guy who has absolutely monetized the White House and engaged in incredibly corrupt behavior, one time in his life, he ought to have to play by the rules that everybody else has to play by. And I thought that was a good point to make.
Absolutely. And I think that in the other room, Nancy Mace, and even though she was interrupted by several of the folks on the other side, she had a good point, too, that he has to follow the rules just like everybody else. Like if it were you or I that pulled that same stuff, we'd still be in jail.
Yes, we would. Yes, we would. So, well, in everything that he did, you know, the guy is just such an incredibly creepy human being. What he has engaged in and the ill repute that he has brought on our government, our society, and our culture, that alone is just is worth such incredible retribution against him. You cannot, he is the epitome to some people of who we are in this country and the privilege associated with our political elite. He has brought such ill repute upon all of us, and there should be consequences for that.
Well, there absolutely has to be. I mean, if the people at the top can't be held accountable, there's no reason why anybody, even the lowliest guy on the totem pole, has to be held accountable. So, I mean, you guys got to do something about it. And I realize that includes the folks on the other side having to participate. But I tell people all the time, Harriet, that if you ever get bored, go to YouTube and search Harriet Hageman Committee, and you'll be entertained for hours. I mean, I really want to commend you for the work that you've been doing, Harriet. We've known each other for a long time, and I've always been impressed with you. But, lady, I wouldn't want to be facing you in a courtroom. No, sir.
Well, thank you. And I'm honored to represent the state of Wyoming. And I do want people to know that if they go to my website, they can find the links and the press release and things related to the NACs. And we're trying to do some additional editorials, like with the Wall Street Journal, to get this broader information out there. So, David, I really do appreciate you. I was just thinking the other day I needed to get back on your program. So thank you for this opportunity.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time. I know you're super busy. Now, there is one more item that I wanted to tell you about, since I've got the opportunity, I will. Do you remember that lovely lady you met over in Hewlett that was having dinner with me?
Yes, yes, yes.
Well, we're getting hitched.
Oh, good, David. That's wonderful. Congratulations on that.
Well, thanks. We're pretty
that
excited.
That's fantastic. I hope that I can be there.
Well, if you text me or email me an address where I can send you an invitation, I will make sure I get one in your hands.
Thank you, David. We'll see you soon, too. So congratulations with that.
All right. Thank you very much, Harriet. You have a good day, and make sure you keep us updated on anything that comes out about these ridiculous NACs.
I will. I will. Thanks for letting us get the message out.
Yep. Have a good day, Harriet.
You too. Bye, David.
Let me just throw one more quick thing at you. The BLM's new resource management plan came as a pretty big shock to most people that they would lock up millions of acres of grassland from human development, that they would close off access to private property that is landlocked by a bunch of BLM surface. Does it make more sense now? The two things are inextricably linked. Why would they lock up millions of acres if not to allow people to buy and sell the air rights and the beauty rights and all of the natural assets to over 3 million acres? Makes a lot more sense now, doesn't it? It's pretty terrifying, and it's an absolute possibility that it could happen. As Harriet mentioned, the public comment period ends on January 18th. I've posted the link to contact the Securities and Exchange Commission at cowboystatepolitics.com, as well as a couple of different articles that'll try to explain exactly what this whole crazy thing is. Please be informed and take the time to send a public comment to the Securities and Exchange Commission. Well, that'll about do it for today's installment of Weekend Update. Stay warm and have a good rest of your weekend, and we'll talk again on Monday. But for now, from the base of the Bighorns at the Cowboy State Politics Studio, I'm David Iverson, and this is the one and only Cowboy State Politics.